We don't live, apparently, in the universe. We live in the multiverse. Now, I'm sure you've had guests talking about quantum physics in the past and this sort of thing, but maybe they learned it in a classroom, maybe they learned it in a lab, but I think I've seen it out in the trenches, decade after decade, and I can't think of any other way to explain the things that I've seen, usually in the presence of witnesses, other than that we live in a universe that is essentially this multiverse of worlds. Infinite numbers of worlds. You know, I'll sometimes go to a medium's presentation. I'll hear the medium talk about the spirit world and this veil that separates us, you know, the physical world from it. And I kind of chuckle because, you know, we seem to live in billions and billions of worlds with billions and billions of veils. And we're behind one of them, so to speak. And it's just, it's far, far deeper and far, far more stupendous than I think any of them realizes. And again, I've seen this in case after case. I think that we are able to draw important life lessons from the paranormal. Now, how do you get from, you know, checking out ghosts and poltergeists to deciding what your spirituality should be and what the future of the human race is? Well, I think they're intimately tied together. They really are. Because why? Because the paranormal is nothing of the kind. It's entirely normal. Why? Because it's how reality really works. I believe that it affects each of us every day in a million little ways, sometimes in big ways, and it explains what we are and why we are the way we are, and it reveals our destiny.
Is it as normal as breathing and eating and sleeping?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think usually we don't notice it. It's funny, I just had my taxes done last week, and my accountant is sort of a he's all right, but he's kind of a two-dimensional kind of guy, and he always laughs at what I do, which you shouldn't do because I'm a client. But in any case, he...
Especially when they're doing your taxes.
Well, exactly. There's nothing funny about that. But in any case, he will ask me, you know, why do you believe this? And sometimes the light will come on, and he'll start to see it. And that's what I've noticed, that even some of the most skeptical people, once this stuff is explained to them, there's a sort of recognition. And that has always led me to believe that our ancestors knew all about this. And one of the things about our own time is that we're very arrogant, you know. I will very often in my audiences have people of scientific background, sometimes physicists. And don't get me wrong, I will always be a student of all sciences. I love everything about science. It's sometimes the scientists I can't stand, okay, because... They have problems of belief because the subject itself inspires disbelief. They don't look at the evidence. They don't come out with me when I invite them to come into the trenches and see it for themselves. Right?
That's true.
So what I think is happening here is we've got a whole new world ahead of us, and it's the first day of school. And the paranormal is the teacher.
You know, it's funny because I was going to ask you if all this is truly just science, the fact that there's an afterlife that in we'll get into your thoughts of that, but it's as scientific as looking through a telescope at a planet, isn't it?
Well, effectively, yeah. Now, one problem, George, here is language. Language can be a problem. Why? Because I don't know of any language that is quite up to actually talking about this stuff. Or talking about God, you know, so we have semantics problems. We have problems with human nature, okay? If you're encountering, people often ask me, what can we do to prove to scientists that the paranormal is real, never mind a legitimate area of study? And I say, there's absolutely nothing we can do to prove it. Why? Because, first of all, human nature. I mean, for the believer, no proof is required. For the unbeliever, no proof is enough, right? Now, in the earliest days of, say, you know, the UFO reports, or back in the 40s, people would say, okay, well, show me a photograph, and I'll believe it. Well, just today we have warehouses full of photographs, many of which are not obviously fakes or anything, but nobody, you know, people still don't believe it. And then there's the problem of the scientific method. You know, we all learned that in high school, observation, theory, experiment, and law. Well, that's woefully insufficient because we're trying to describe a world that operates on multiple levels, in multiple parallel universes all the time, and we're trying to operate, you know, trying to examine it with a scientific method that really only can describe a three-dimensional world. It's like having a basketball and trying to measure it with a straight ruler. You can't do it. So what do? They just declare that the basketball doesn't exist, right? So we're looking at a whole new ball game here as far as maybe a new scientific method, not to mention the fact that if you were a scientist, you'd spend $50,000 to $100,000 on an advanced degree, and somebody who had not comes along and questions the basis of what you've learned, you're not going to accept it. So I long ago gave up trying to prove anything to mainstream science. I mean, we're the problem. We're the ones with the belief problem. Every culture before us knew there were such things as God, life after death, quote unquote, et cetera, et cetera. We're the ones with the belief problem.
But it's difficult to prove, Paul.
Well, what do you mean by proof?
Well, I'm talking about definitive, hard evidence. A lot of this is having faith. A lot of this is, well, you know, maybe it's common sense in your belief system. But in terms of that hard proof, unless all of us see a ghost walk into a room and we look at it together, it's pretty difficult for people with not as an open mind as you or others to believe this.
Well, I can understand that, and I stood in the presence of witnesses and had things like that happen. If you want to get into that, we will, including police officers and fire officials as well. However, you know, again, you have to realize that it's funny. In a court of law, what's the first thing people look for? An eyewitness, right?
Yeah.
But in the case of the paranormal, eyewitnesses, that doesn't seem to constitute proof of any kind, not even evidence. Because everybody who has a paranormal experience is assumed to have poor eyesight, bad judgment, or be nuts. You know, and it's not fair and it's not accurate. So, again, it depends on the subject. The subject itself inspires disbelief, and that's a handicap.
Well, but you know what? Like you just mentioned, like a court of law, you know, the first thing you want is the witness. But they also then look for the weapon in the crime, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the body, the victim.
Mm-hmm.
With the hunt for the scientific side of the unknown, that's what I call that, the paranormal, the scientific side of the unknown.
Sure.
What do we have to hold our hats on to tell people this is real?
Well, the thing that I discovered, and this is starting probably in the late 70s when all these cases were adding up and I really couldn't, you know, pin the old-time explanations on them, is the whole idea of the quantum physics. Now, I should stress that only about 57%, last I checked, of physicists believe in what is known as the multiple worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics. Now, this is not a physics lecture, but what that essentially is this belief that I mentioned before, that we live in a multiverse, where the worlds around us and that we pass through are like bubbles in a bathtub. What do the bubbles in your sink do? They kind of move around one another. They pass through one another. They will attach at certain places. Sometimes they'll pop. And this seems to be a reasonable analogy for what many have interpreted as the makeup, the construction of the universe. And in the real key here is that in these worlds, many of them have us as residents. We live in many at the same time, apparently. It's kind of a hard concept until you get your mind around it. So we have the science of quantum mechanics. I mean, this stuff is not just theory anymore. David Deutsch, the Oxford University physicist, is actually using this theory to build quantum computers.